As we continue on with worship, I invite you to take out your Bible and open up to Genesis chapter 1. And it's an easy one today, because that's at the very beginning. And as we prepare for this, today is the final week of our series that we have called Say What? And we've been exploring how powerful and important our words are, that what we say matters. And we first talked about this a few weeks ago, how the tongue holds the power of life and death. And then we went in to explore how what we hear and what we let into our heart and what we say about ourselves contains the power to create and destroy lives. And then today we're going to finish by closing out and exploring how God has some pretty powerful things to say about you. So when we know how God sees us, it should affect how we speak about ourselves and how we speak to one another. And I invite you to turn with me here in Genesis and let's find out more. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read a little bit, then skip a few verses, and then continue on. So when God began to create the heavens and the earth, the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And so light appeared, and God saw how good the light was. And God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. Then going to verse 25. God made every kind of wildlife, every kind of livestock, and every kind of creature that crawls on the ground. And God saw how good it was. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on the earth." And God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them, male and female, God created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and everything crawling on the ground." And then God said, "Now I give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds, and all the trees whose fruit produces its seeds within it. And these will be your food. To all the wildlife, to all the birds of the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food." And that's what happened. God saw everything he had made. It was supremely good. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I would like you to look in your bulletin for a moment. And in there you'll see after the sermon that there is a scripture, Ephesians 4:29, and then Psalm 19:14. I would like us to say together Ephesians 4:29, and let this be our memory verse for the week. I want you to take this with you and repeat it so that within a week's time it becomes a part of who you are. Let's say Ephesians 4:29 together. "Don't let any foul words come out of your mouth. Only say what is helpful when it is needed for building up the community so that it benefits those who hear what you say." Now let us pray together Psalm 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen." So, how does God speak about us? How does God speak about you? Have you ever wondered what God thinks about you? Raise your hand if that's been you. So, a few of us, yeah, most of us are like, "Yeah, I got it." Sometimes I really wonder, what is God thinking about me? Does God really see value in me? Does God really see value in you? Well, one of the best ways to know what God says about us is to read it directly from Scripture. Really, to me, this is the best way to know what God says, especially what God is thinking about you and what God believes about you, is to read it in the scriptures, because these are God's inspired written words. And God has a message for you. Really, God has a love letter for you. Did you ever think about it that way? That's what it is. And I would like to encourage you to read your Bible on a daily basis. And then when you come across something that lifts you up or inspires you or helps you through a rough day, highlight it, underline it, and memorize it. And if you haven't already, try starting to memorize the scriptures that encourage you and that lift you up. Print them out, put them on a piece of paper, and tape it to your bathroom mirror so that you see it in the morning when you're getting ready, or lay it on your nightstand so you can read it when you get up or before you go to bed, or put it in your wallet or in your car or even on your phone so that you have some place that you can see it on a regular basis, that you can read them, that you can memorize them, that you can recall them when you need to, that they become a part of you. Because that's going to be important going forward as we dig into more about the character of God's relationship with us. See, in the beginning, God spoke. And God created through God's spoken word. God created the heavens and the earth and everything in between. And then separating the night from the day, the waters from the dry land, and then filling the earth and the sea and the sky with creatures of every kind. And God looked at it, and God called it good. And then God created humankind, us. God made us, made them in God's own image. Body, mind, and spirit are in the image of the Creator. That's what we were made. And we weren't just spoken into existence. God formed us with God's own hands from the dust of the earth. And when God looked at us, God said we were very good. I mean, we gaze at the splendor and the beauty of creation, at all the beautiful places that we've seen, that we've been, that we've seen in TV and movies or pictures of. And we think, wow, that's beautiful. That's amazing. I love being there. I want to go there. And God calls it good. Yet when it comes to us, God says we are very good, even supremely good. Ephesians 2:10 says it like this, that we are God's accomplishment. That God has made us his best, God's workmanship, God's craftsmanship, God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for us long ago for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. See, God desires good things for us. Even when we turn our back, even when humanity turns its back on God, God still created a plan to save those who love God and offer a way for all of creation to be restored back to God. For example, when Abraham and Sarah were ready to retire, they were old and had no children, but God said, wait, I have a plan for you. I want to start a nation from your offspring that will bless all of creation. And then later when Moses ran from Egypt and he made a new life for himself and he was getting old and about to retire, God said, wait, I have plans for you. I'm sending you back to rescue my people and bring them to freedom in the land that I promised their ancestors, to free them from their bondage and captivity. And then when it was time for the Israelites to claim that land, they were scared. They knew it was a land full of milk and honey. In other words, a land that was full of fertile ground and provisions that would allow them all to live well. Yet they also heard rumors that there were giants in the land. And again, God said, wait, I have plans for you. And he had Joshua lead them into the promised land and into victory with these words in Joshua 1:7-9. He says, be very brave and strong as you carefully obey all the instructions that Moses, my servant, commanded you. I've commanded you to be brave and strong, haven't I? So don't be alarmed or terrified, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then later on, as Israel turned its back on God time and time and time again, which led them to being captured and exiled and enslaved once again, God said, wait, I have plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. And it goes on that when you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all your heart, you will find me, and I will be present for you, declares the Lord. Then Isaiah 41:9-10 says, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest corners, I'm saying to you, you are my servant, and I chose you, and I didn't reject you. Don't fear, because I am with you. Don't be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will surely help you. I will hold you with my righteous strong hand. And then, years later, after God returned the people from exile and the people were waiting for the Messiah to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, that's when God gave the most radical demonstration of his love yet by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus, not to condemn the world, but to save the world, to save me, to save you. And it was through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that Jesus lived a perfect life, and he gave us the perfect image of God. That through Jesus, we can know how much God loves us. We can know that God loves you. And we can know that there is nothing on heaven or earth or anything in between that will ever separate us from God's love. And we find that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised us in Matthew 28:19-20, he says, to be with you every day. I will be with you every day until the end of this age. And then he sent us the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, to be alive in us, to guide us, to help us, to affirm God's love for us, to help us make life better and make you better at life through Jesus Christ. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do with all of this? That if we are God's children, if we are the people of God, how are we going to use the power of God's Spirit alive inside of us to represent and to share God with the world? How are we going to speak Christ, that is, speak words of grace and love and life into a world that needs all the grace and love and life that God wants to give? See, God wants to offer Christ, not just to us, but also through us. So how will we speak to and about others when they know that we are Christians? See, people who don't know Christ or don't know God, from their point of view, when we speak, we represent God. We represent Christ. We represent the church. Whether we realize it or not, or whether we like it or not, that's who we are. And did you know that in almost every war, almost every political movement, almost every division between people throughout history, we've thought that God was on our side? We've waged war thinking God was on our side. We've committed violence in the name of Jesus Christ. And what happens? Instead of drawing people closer, our words and our actions have pushed people away from Jesus and away from God. I know I'm guilty of this. And I imagine most of us in here at some point in time, we've all done something to this effect. But what God says is go and sin no more. Love as I have loved you, and that people will know you are mine by how you love one another. I've offered just a few of these passages where God says how much God cares about you, how much God loves you, and how God has plans for you. This is just the skimming the top. There is so much more. And I invite you to dig into it and make them a part of who you are. Because sometimes we're our own worst enemy, and our negative self-talk is what we convince ourselves that God thinks about us. We think this is what God is saying about us. But the reality is that God deeply loves you. For example, through God's love, God changes the reality of our existence. Like when Jesus became human, took on flesh, and then we saw what God is really like. You know, John called Jesus the Word, not a word, but the Word, the Word of God made flesh, as God's proof for us all of God's love for me and for you. And the truth is we worship a God who speaks. We worship a God who speaks to us and who speaks to you. We follow a God who creates by speaking, who creates out of nothing by speaking. And we have a God who still speaks to us today in that still, small voice. God is speaking to us if we're willing to listen. And the reality of God's words spoken over you and into you and through you, those are powerful. It's because God speaks things through us and into us that we can't always see. Not yet, anyway. Sometimes we have to wait a long time to see them. And in those times, we wait and we trust. Someday, God says. And then God speaks them into existence, and God creates new realities for people who feel lost and abandoned and hopeless. And God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. Even when we fail, and even when our lives are full of sin, God says, I will take your sins away. Though you are guilty and like scarlet or crimson, I shall make you innocent and as white as snow. When the time comes, God will bring heaven to earth and will make all things new. And God calls us his sons and daughters. Isn't that amazing? Do you have that in your heart? See, Romans 12:9 says it like this. He says, love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. Love each other like members of your family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Then in verse 14 it says, bless people who harass you. Bless and don't curse them. And then in verse 17, don't pay back anyone for their evil actions with evil actions, but show respect for what everyone else believes is good. And if possible, to the best of your ability, live at peace with all people. And sometimes this is hard, because part of being human is that we say things and we do things, and sometimes we say things and do things that we forget about or don't realize how they come across, or somebody does something for us and we forgot about it. We have to learn to apologize and to forgive. And we have to remember to remind each other of how much we really do love each other. And sometimes what happens is we forget to see the other person for who they are. We forget to see that they're human and to see that they are made in the image of God too, and that God loves them too. See, Jesus said the greatest thing that we could do was to love God with everything we've got. But then he said the second most important thing was like the first. That was to love our neighbor, to love the other as ourself. In other words, Jesus said the second is as important as the first. Or sometimes I like to say it is, show the first by how you do the second. We are all bound in this together. Because finally, what binds us together, not only are we made in the image of God, but that we all follow Christ. And so I would like to challenge us to see God in each other, to see God in the other, even in the stranger, even in the enemy. Let's be someone who sees God in them and someone who sees the possibilities in one another, just like God sees the possibilities in us and in you. Because God sees possibility in you. So see the possibility in yourself, and then see them one another, and then see them in the other, and then imagine what people could be or what they could do with the help of God. And then help lift them up so that they can see it too. Because friends, that's what love looks like. It's not warm and fuzzy feelings, but it's a determination to want the best for another person, in the other person, whether you agree with them or not. Pray for their best and try to live in such a way that where you are positively encouraging other people, even as you vigorously do your own best and make the most out of what you've got for yourself and for your family and for your church and for your community, for your nation, and even for the world. Perhaps this is the key to helping our world heal. Perhaps it is found in this kind of love, because I see this as embodying the grace of God. So let's be the children of God who embrace the grace and all the love and allow it to overflow from our hearts and our lives and over into the world around us. Let's be the change that we want to see. Amen.